It's in your precious name that your will be done, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So are you really nervous or really excited?
I'm really, really nervous.
You may kiss your bride.
Do you guys have anything you want to say to the bride and groom?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful wedding.
It was gorgeous.
Jordan and Claire, we love you so much.
Look, Crystal, look.
Oh my gosh, Lacey.
What are
they? Where's everybody going?
What
are you?
Oh my god, what's happening? What
are you?
What, you got, why am I going? Oh yeah.
Pretty ominous, isn't it? Maybe not. I guess not. So anyway, all right. Well, you are a lively bunch today. I'm glad you all had your Wheaties and came excited. We have more coffee. Just suggesting that, okay? Anyway, gosh, y'all are a tough crowd this morning. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here, and I feel like I'm going to get stuff thrown at me already. That's bad when you walk out here first thing and it's really dry. But anyway, hopefully I'll get you up and get you going in a second, and we'll be a little bit more excited about being here. So thank you so much for being here with us this morning. We're just excited that you chose to be here. I know it's raining and nasty and all that stuff outside, and let's just be honest. You know, it was tough. Let's just be honest. How many of you woke up this morning, looked outside, and said, man, I really want to stay home this morning? This is honest. I'm raising my hand, really. I did. Yeah, so thank you for being honest, and thank you for getting out of bed and coming and being here. So I think there's a lot of people who did that, and they just rolled on over and are sleeping it out. So hopefully they'll catch the podcast later and catch up with us and be ready to go next week. Well, listen, we're starting a brand new series called The End. And maybe that brought you out today. You kind of heard there was this series starting about the end times and all that. You know, they always say if you want to draw a crowd, there's two things you can talk about. You can talk about sex, and that'll bring a crowd, or you can talk about end times, and that'll bring a crowd. But if you really want a big crowd, you talk about sex and the end times, and everybody comes, you know. Thank you. God. It's just going to be bad today. I just know. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so listen, we're excited about getting this series started because there's so much talk right now about end times and blood moons and rapture and this and that. It's all kinds of stuff. And so what I want to do is just be able to talk to you about what's going on and help hopefully take us mostly as believers to be able to digest what this means for us, and then be able to go out into our community and make sure that we help people that aren't believers, aren't Christians, be able to also understand it and be able to see life change in us and our community. So listen, I'm talking to you today, and I hope that you get something out of it, but I also want you to get something that you can take out and give away to someone else, and the same for me. So hopefully that's what we'll do, and we'll see something really great come from this. So we're talking about the end times. This is a series called The End. And since you're here at the first week, you could kind of call this the beginning of the end. Noah, can you come up and just da-dunch every now and then for me? Because I feel like I really need it today. All right, so anyway, we're beginning the series, The End. We're talking about end times. We're talking about what the Bible has to say to us. We know that, you know, a couple years ago or a few years ago in 2012, if you were alive and not under a rock somewhere, you know that the Mayan calendar had predicted that the world was going to end on December 21st, 2012. And so there was this time coming that, you know, we had to be ready and all of this stuff. And you know what? We woke up on December 21st. We went to bed on December 21st, and we woke up on December 22nd, right? And we're still here. We're still going. The world hasn't ended, but there was this real push about it happening. Well, guess what? Here we are in 2015, and there's another push. There are some very prominent pastors who are talking about some events that are happening, and they're pushing us along that the end is coming. All right, and so they're talking about there because there's some very specific events happening. There's a tetrad of blood moons of this eclipse that's happening that causes the moon to become this dark red color that have happened in a row in a very interesting sequence along with the Jewish calendar. And so the way that it's all fallen in place, that there's been some books written about how this is the end. Anybody bought those and read those books? Just curious. Yeah, so there's a couple of you. So anyway, there's been some publicity about it and been talking about it. I read stuff on CNN. I've read stuff on USA Today. There's just all kinds of stuff. But I want to help you kind of understand this, because there is prophecy in the scriptures about what this would look like and how this could be the end. There are scriptures in Joel and Revelation that really make this line up to be possibly the end. And today is it. September 27th is it, right? It could happen today. It could happen the 28th or somewhere right in here that this could be it. You could have woken up for the very final time here on earth today. You want my opinion? Just my opinion, okay? I think we're all going to wake up tomorrow. And I think we're all going to wake up the day after that. Now, I'm not knocking anybody who believes that, because these things line up very good. And they really point to the end of time here, the end of the world as we know it. But I also know that there is someone who's an authority on that who gave us some very specific instructions about worrying about when the final day will come. His name was Jesus. And he said this in Mark chapter 13, verse 32. He said, "But about that day or hour, no one knows." Does it say some know, a few know, somebody's going to be really smart enough to figure it out? No, he says no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, not even Jesus knows, but only the Father. Only the Father knows. Now, today could still be it, y'all. It could be. I just don't think it's going to be. Because of the way that the scripture lines up and the way that he tells us nobody's going to know, I think, you know, a lot of people are sitting around wondering about it, worrying about it, and it doesn't need to be wondered about or worried about. Listen, I got to tell you up front that maybe you came and you're interested in the end times. So listen, I am too, but not because I'm worried about it or anxious about it. I'm stinking excited about it, because I know what I will receive when that happens. And so today we're gonna set a foundation for how this series goes and how we begin to dig into it. But you just need to know there's gonna be some things you're gonna find out today that it may not be all that you were expecting to hear today, all right? But I believe we're gonna learn some things, and we're gonna be able to concentrate on some things and focus on some things that are gonna make us better, that are gonna make us enjoy the end times so much better. So here's where I want to start with this foundation. We're gonna be in our Bibles in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you have your YouVersion Live, go ahead and pull it up. We want to be able to do this together. But maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, man, this whole prophecy stuff is pretty weird. Maybe you're not a believer in Christ and you're kind of concerned about all this, and you're wondering and you're thinking, man, these Christians are crazy because they're talking end times and destruction and da-da-da-da-da and all this stuff and people floating up in the air and everything else. Listen, that's okay, because that is some weird stuff. That doesn't fit in with what we normally see or normally encounter. It doesn't fit in with what we would normally expect out of our day. But the truth is that the prophecies are there to help us begin to look forward to some things and be able to put things in place for when the prophecies do come to light. The Bible's full of it. The Bible is packed full of it. And even if you look into the Old Testament, you see tons of prophecy about Jesus coming for the first time. And what do we know about the prophecies of Jesus coming for the first time. Does anybody want to take a guess? They were true. Okay, they happened. Okay? They happened. They weren't just prophecy that was put out there. It was reality of what was going to be. Jesus came. And it talks about how he came born of a virgin, you know, long before. Isaiah prophesied about that long before it ever happened. And so there's talk there. There's prophecy that lined up with exactly what happened. The thing about the second coming that we talk about in the church about Jesus, that he's coming back, that gets us so worked up and so excited for some of us, so anxious for some of us because of not maybe not being ready or whatever. The truth is that prophecy of Jesus coming the first time was completely fulfilled, right? And there was a lot of it. But there's five times as much prophecy about him coming again. Now think about it. If all the scriptures that were about him coming for the first time were fulfilled, and there's five times as much about him coming the second time, don't you think we ought to be concerned about it? I don't mean concerned like worried. I mean that it ought to take some place in our life, that we should be focused on it, and we should be wanting to know more. And so that's why we're here, laying a foundation so that we can come together. There's people on all sides of this thing. There's people that believe it's going to happen this way, this is going to happen that way, it's going to happen then, now. It's all over the place. And so today we're not here to debate that. We're not here to fight about it, because I think it's ridiculous that we would get into an argument in the church about when it's going to happen. Because all that means is that we're focused on something other than what's most important. And today that's what we're gonna spend a lot of time on, is what's most important, that we need to be ready whenever it comes. So we need to focus in on that. Today we're going to start in the scriptures of Thessalonians. And here in the first century, the Christians of this period, they were expecting Jesus to come back any moment. They didn't think it was going to be thousands of years or whatever. They thought it was going to be like next week. You know, they were planning on Tuesday at lunch, you know, kind of thing. They were ready for him to be back. And so what they were concerned about was the people that they loved who had passed away before he got back. And so so we find Paul here in this letter to the Thessalonians talking about what to expect and what they could believe about those who have died already. And here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We're going to read through this big chunk of scripture, and then we'll go back and we'll break it apart. So here's what it says. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep within him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so today, that's what I want to do for you. I just want to encourage you. I hope today that we all leave encouraged about what the end times will mean for us individually and as a whole, as a church, the big church, the big C church, not just URA, but for all churches and all believers together. This should be something that we celebrate. And so here, what I want to do is just give you three reasons for the hope that we have as Christians. Three reasons that we can have hope in these times. Number one, if you're taking notes, you'll want to write this down, the return. We want to talk about the return because that's the reason that we have hope, and that's Christ is coming again. It's not a will be later on. It's not a maybe, kind of, sort of, He is coming again. The scriptures have made it very clear that he is coming. John 14, verse 3, Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Did he say I might? Did he say maybe? Could? No, he says he will. That's a promise from Jesus. So we know that we can trust those words. He says, "I am coming back." You know, one of my big heroes is Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? And so we know what Arnold's big thing is. I'll be back, right? And he's one of my heroes, but guess what? My biggest hero actually stole his line first. Because Jesus said, "I'll be back," right? He said, "I'm coming again. I will come back and get you." And so here we are. We need to understand that he has promised us that. In the early church, they were excited about the return of Jesus. They were pumped up about it. They thought it was happening like any day now. And so they're just excited about what's going to happen. And so here it is. They were going around waiting on it to happen. And you know, they even came up with their own greeting because they were so excited about it. Now, when we see each other, it's like, "What's up, man? You know, yo, what's up, bro?" You know, we got our own things. We, you know, "Hey, what's up?" We high five, we shake hands, we hug, we do whatever. You know, we got our own little greetings. But in the early church, they had their own greeting. It was Maranatha. And they would take the hand of the one they were greeting and they would look him in the eye with this incredible faith and they would say, "Maranatha." And Maranatha means that the Lord is coming, that he is returning. They were jazzed up about it. They were excited about it. You know, in the church today, though, guess what? There's not, that just doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement about the return of Jesus. It just doesn't seem like we're that excited about him coming back. I think we've fallen so in love with this world and this world, all the things that it has for us and all the things that we see and touch and that we feel, you know, things make us feel good and we're in love with this person and we got all this stuff around us that we've fallen in love with what's temporal and we've forgotten about what's eternal. And so today, my prayer is that we all walk out of here in love with who and what's eternal. And that's Jesus and our relationship with him if we have accepted what he did for us on the cross by giving his life to pay the price for our sins, dying and being buried in a tomb, but then being raised on the third day. If we truly believe that and that's happened in our lives, we've accepted it for what it is, then we should be jazzed about that. We should be so pumped up, man, you know, even more than I am about the Cowboys football season. I am. I'm jazzed up about it, you know. Even without Tony Romo, hey, I'm okay. We're going to win anyway, you know. So, you know, today, you guys, you Panther fans, you know, Drew Brees is out. Y'all ought to win too, you know. So you should be happy. See, yeah, you know, anyway. It took me 3 weeks to crack a Panther joke, okay. I did pretty good. Y'all should give me some props on that. Third week before I said anything negative about them. Anyway, huh? I know it, man. So here we are. So the reality is that Jesus died. He's coming back, paid an incredible price for us, and we should be excited about it. We should be, as we think about it, Maranatha should be our cry. Thank you, God, that you're coming back. Thank you, God, that I get to be able to have that hope to look forward to. Maranatha. Man, Maranatha, I get to worship. The Lord is returning. Man, I should be singing my guts out. I should be telling people about what I have. We should be willing to do those kinds of things. The scripture says, for those that long for the Lord to come, there's actually a crown waiting on us. Now think about that, a crown in heaven, because we're anticipating and excited about Jesus coming back. We should be all striving to receive that crown, but I'm afraid that a lot of us are going to miss out on it because we're too excited about everything else. We got to let that be what drives us. Paul said in the text here that we've been reading from, verse 14, he says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That is Christianity in a little sentence. That we, because we believe he died and rose again, that he paid the price for our sins, that we are forgiven and set free when we trust him for that salvation and for that rescue, that we are set. We need to be able to understand that. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Now what's Paul talking about here? Is he talking about the guy in the third row that falls asleep every Sunday in the middle of the message? Now, y'all are looking like, who's on the third row? No, I'm not talking about anybody in here. If it was anybody in here, I would yell really loud and wake you up. So the reality is that he's not talking about the dude that falls asleep every Sunday. He's not talking about that. He's talking about someone. It's a beautiful metaphor for someone who's died. They've fallen asleep. They've fallen asleep in him, and so he's going to bring with him all of those people. That's a beautiful way to look at. If we're a believer in Christ, technically we never die. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about rotting in the ground. We don't have to worry about all that, because our soul, who we are, will live forever with Christ in heaven. In the Greek writings, the word there that means falling asleep was used 14 times. And so there's this sense that they've just fallen asleep, and he's going to bring them back with him. He's going to lift them up when he comes. That was the word used for Lazarus when Jesus raised him from the dead, that he was only asleep in Jesus, that he had fallen asleep in him. So that's the way that it's portrayed to us. Though he were dead, he truly hadn't died, because he had that relationship. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Think about what that means. That he will come down. That, you know, with gentle whispers, God created the world. You know, with Christ's death, the earth shook out of his hurt and everything that came along with that. When that stone rolled away, the earth shook when Jesus came out of the tomb. But think about this. When he comes back again, it's going to be greater and bigger than any of that. Because why? Because listen, when your team wins, you know, you're going to celebrate, you cheer, you jump up and down. You know, man, when I'm watching Sunday night football and the girls are already asleep in my house, man, I have to jump silently on my wooden floors when the Cowboys are playing. Have you ever tried to jump silently on wooden floors? It's like, you know, I'm just, you know, I can't get up because I know it's going to be making all kinds of noise. But when he comes back, it's going to be incredible. There's going to be a trumpet sound that's going to blow away anything that they could ever do at Panther Stadium or Texas Stadium or any of the places that our teams play. I saw a video from Virginia Tech from a couple years ago, and they were winning. It was like down to the very end of the song or end of the game, and over the PA system they began to play Enter Sandman. Anybody know Enter Sandman, that song? I mean, it's jamming or whatever, a little Metallica, and these people went nuts in the stadium. I mean, there were like 80-year-old people jumping up and down to Enter Sandman. It was amazing. And the whole place was going crazy, and they said that you'd hear it from all over the town. But let me just tell you, when the trumpet blows, when Jesus is coming back, it's going to be amazing. And it should be. It's the greatest victory over everything. Now he's not even only conquered death and sin, but now he's conquered all of it. And he's bringing us back to be with him forever. It's going to be an amazing time. But that trumpet's going to blow, and that command is going to be shouted. And for those who have that relationship with him, it's going to be amazing, because we're going to be able to spend that time with him. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those who have believed and had a relationship and have died, they're going to be raised first. And then those who have that relationship are going to be raised up to catch them. there's going to be two resurrections. The first resurrection that the Bible talks about is for those who are Christians and have been raised from the dead. That those who have believed, who are going to be raised up with him, those who have a relationship, are going to be raised up. There's going to be a second resurrection that's going to be for those who are not believers, who do not have that relationship with him. And they're going to be raised in a very different way. See, those who are believers and have that relationship, they're going to be judged one way. They're going to be judged at the Bema seat, which is going to be where the things that we've done for Christ, the things that we've done as a believer, the things we've done because we have that relationship, because of who we are going to be judged before him. And they're going to be found good because we have the relationship. We're going to be found clean and restored because we believed on that relationship and because of what Jesus has done for us and our belief in that. Those who do not have that relationship are going to be judged at the great white throne. It's going to be a place where their works are not going to be found worthy. We're not saved by the things that we do. We're not saved by our works. But listen, we are saved by why we do our works. It's the relationship that comes out of it. And those who have a relationship will be judged by that. And those who do not have a relationship, who've never believed and trusted in what Jesus did on the cross, are going to be judged quite differently. And they're not going to be found worthy. Their name's not going to be in the Lamb's book of life. And they're going to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. Now, that's some deep stuff. But it's the reality of the scriptures that we read about and that we know have been talked about and have been proven to be true. But today, let me focus us in on that first resurrection, the one for those who believe, those who have that relationship. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. It says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. If you're dead, listen, this is the one you want to be in. All right, this is who you want to be with. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Listen, you want to be in that first resurrection. You want to be in the one with the relationship, because then the second death has no power over you. The second death means nothing. Wait a minute, Ron. What are you talking about, the second death? Listen, the first death here on earth will be physical. We'll breathe our last and we'll be buried and that's the death that happens to us here. But listen, there's a spiritual death that happens too, and if we don't have that relationship with God, then we will die that second spiritual death as well, and that's where we're separated from God forever. It's been said you can be born once and die twice, or you can be born twice and die once. That's kind of crazy, Ron. Wait a minute. We just die, right? And then we either go to heaven or we go to hell. That's not actually true. You are born once. We all know that we're all born. Anybody in here not born? Yeah, because we know what happens. You know, mama pushes you out, you know, because she's had enough of you for 9 months. She pushes you out. The doctor catches you, spanks you on the butt, and you cry, right? We all know that happens for all of us. So we are all born once, but we have to decide, are we going to be born a second time and avoid the second death, or are we going to suffer through both of them? How are we born a second time? We know Jesus told Nicodemus that you have to be born again. You have to have that. And is that a physical birth? No, it's a spiritual birth. We have to die to ourselves and be reborn as a new creation, the Bible says. We need to understand that we die to ourselves, realizing that we're a sinner, that we're separated from God because of that sin, and that the only way to be born again, to be restored to him, is through trusting what Jesus did on the cross for us. And by believing in him and trusting in him, we're able to then be born again and have this spiritual birth. So what happens to the death? Well, if we're born twice, we only die once. We die physically, but we never have to die that eternal spiritual death because we live forever. We'll be judged and we'll live forever. But what if we are only born once and we never are born the second time? The Bible says that we'll not only die physically, but we'll also die spiritually. There'll be the two deaths that we'll have to endure. And trust me, the second one is not the one that you want to experience. We need to understand that this is how it works. This isn't some fairy tale. It's not some game. This is the prophecies that have been laid out. This is the scripture, the truth that has been given to us to understand that, listen, we've been warned. We've been told how it will be, and we've been able to have the opportunity to make a choice which we want to experience. I'm telling you, I'll take the two births over the two deaths any day. Because, you know, I the first one I did pretty good through, right? I made it out, all right? The second one was a life-changing experience when at the age of 21 I realized that on my own, I couldn't make it happen. That no matter what I did, no matter how much money I had, no matter how physically strong I was, no matter how, you know, smart I was, good-looking I was, you know, all of that, it just wasn't going to get me through on my own. It was going to take something greater than Ron could do on his own, and it took what Jesus did on the cross. And so at 21, I gave my life to Christ. I cried out and let him come and rescue me from myself and my sin. And so I know that that second birth was an amazing time as well. And so now, you know what? I got to make it through the physical death. That could be rough. That could be terrible. I don't have any idea what that'll be like one day. But the reality is, I know that whatever it comes to be, there is something way greater on the other side of that for me. And so the cool thing is that every person in this room has the opportunity to look at death that way. You know, some of you in the room, I've been with you when you've lost people that you love. And we've been able to say, we know we'll see them again. We know that they're in a better place. We know that they are here now. They're with Christ. Man, let me tell you, that's an amazing thing to be able to say. Because listen, I've been with people who couldn't say that. And trust me, there is always a difference. And so today we need to be able to understand that there are things coming that we need to know about. As a believer, you know, so many people talk about YOLO. If you know what YOLO means, raise your hand. What does it mean? You only live once, right? You only live once. Anybody ever seen that, heard that? I know that's one of those little cute little things on Facebook that people like to post. You only live once. You know what? Mine says YOLO. You only die once, all right? I mean, you know, all I got to worry about, I die once, I'm good, all right? So as a believer, we need to be able to think it that way. No more YOLO, but YODO. Y'all laugh more at that than you did my good jokes. Man, that's funny. All right, anyway, here we go. Whatever it takes, you know. So we have the return of Christ. We know we can look forward to that. Now we have the rapture. Number two, we have the rapture. That's living Christians are taken away. All right, so that's what the rapture is. We need to be able to understand that's when Christians are going to be taken up. All right, so rapture is a word that's not in the scriptures, and you don't find it in the Bible anywhere. You know, I know that really breaks some of your hearts. It's not in there, but the reality of it is the rapture. Living Christians are taken away. Verse 17 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. If that happens in our lifetime, listen, you're going to be like the video earlier. They're going to be rising up, and you're going to be caught up with them. We're going to meet those in the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air with them. The word called up in the original Greek was the word harpazo. Say that with me, harpazo. Say it. Harpazo. It means caught up. It means rescued. That means kind of come in and snatched away, kind of Jason Bourne style or, you know, whatever. Just come in and, you know, slide the van up, open the door, whip you in, and off you go. You know, that's kind of the reality. Harpazo is going to be rescued, taken out, snatched away, rescued. And we need to understand that's how it's going to be. That we'll be taken up with them. Now, there are all kinds of thoughts on that. Like, when's it going to happen? When exactly will we be raptured? When will we be harpazoed by Jesus? That there's thoughts that we know that the scripture talks about tribulation. So there are times that we want to know that there's going to be these 7 years that's going to be just horrible on earth. And is Jesus going to come get us before that, during that, after that, or whenever? So it, there's pre-trib, which is before the tribulation. There's mid-trib, which is during it. There's post-trib, which is right after it. And then there are those who are pan-tribs. Those are the people that don't have a clue. They just hope it all pans out in the end, okay? Yeah, thank you. It's like a golf clap, you know, it's a golf laugh. All right, so the reality is, here's what I believe. All right, you want to know, Ron, what do you believe? I believe that we are pre-trib. I believe that Jesus will come get us, and then all hell's going to break loose. All right, it's going to fall apart. He's going to come get his people. He's going to harpazo us. He's going to slide up in this big old, you know, black Ford chariot van or something, and we're going to grab us all in, and we're going to be gone. All right? And we're going to be saved from all of that. But we need the reality of that's going to be the people who have that relationship, who know that they've made a decision to accept him and to be in a relationship, to be rescued by him. He comes to rescue us. Matthew 24, verse 39 through 41, and then verse 44 say this, "And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left." Verse 44, "So you also must be ready." Let me say that again. "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Don't be caught looking up. That's not what he's looking for from us. We need to be ready. And being ready as a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't mean sitting by the curb with our bags packed. That's not what he means. We need to be busy. This is serious stuff. It's the return of Jesus. The trumpet is going to blow like nothing you've ever heard before. The command is going to be cried out. And we're going to be called home when Jesus comes and the big van slides up and pulls us all in. All right? It's going to happen. And for those of us who are called and not ready, it's not going to be a good situation. Listen, here's what it's going to look like. Two people are sitting side by side on computers. Boom. One's gone. And the other one's like, "Now I got to do her work too." You know? That's what most of us would think, okay? We wouldn't even worry. We'd think that first because we're naturally lazy people. But the reality is, you know, and then we try to figure it out later. But two people, you know, two people went shopping in you know, Harris Teeter. And all of a sudden, one car is just going to go down the aisle and you know, crash into the cantaloupes, you know? It's just going to happen. You know, we're going to be in church. And, you know, four people in a row, two people are going to disappear. I don't know, you know? You're all by yourself. I don't know what to think of that. But, you know, I'm just hoping if it happens during the week and I'm here at the church, I'm just hoping Gabe's here with me, because that gives me a better odds of who goes and who doesn't. You know, I'm just hoping, you know, I'm hoping if right, it takes my odds way up there of being able to go. But you know, that's how it's going to happen. People are just going to be gone. They're going to go. You know, some dude's going to be videoing at a wedding, and she's just going to go up in the air. And it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. So we need to be ready. Some of you, let me just be... I gotta teach you this important lesson. All right, there are some people who sleep in the buck naked, right? I'm just telling you, that's not such a good idea. Listen, if you sleep buck naked, you might want to think about that. Because listen, you need to make sure that you got, you know, boxers and a robe or something close by. Because here's what's going to happen. It's going to happen, and you don't know what's going to happen, and you're just going to be sucked up in the air. And here, let me just read to you the scriptures, okay? You think this is like some crude joke, the pastor's, no, let me, it says in Revelation 16:15, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. I'm just saying, keep the boxers and the, you know, the robe nearby. Because he's coming, and you don't want to be floating up there with your stuff all exposed for everybody. I'm just telling you. It's nasty to rub all that on your sheets anyway. Anyway, just. So, here's the reality. Man, I'm going to get. Send those emails to GABE@URAChurch. That's right. Send it to him. I don't know. So, chances are that. Obviously, Jesus is talking metaphorically, but I just want you to be prepared. All right, so be ready. Be ready. So we got the return of Jesus, we got the rapture, and we've got, number three, the reunion. That Christians will be with God forever. That's what we ought to be getting excited about this. You see, the end is not something for a believer to be worried about at all. Now, let me just say this. Am I ready to go? Absolutely. Do I want to go today? If that's what he wants, yeah. But you know what? I love my girls, and I want to spend more time with them. I love you guys. I love hanging out with y'all and spending time. So listen, I'm not sitting ready to, you know, forget the rest of it and ready to go. I'm going to enjoy what I got while I got it. But the reality is, when it comes, I know they'll be with me. And most of you will be with me. But the reality is that I'll be with God forever. The one who loved me from the very, very moment that I was ever, you know, before I was conceived, he loved me. The Bible says before I was knit together in my mother's womb, he loved me. I think about the babies and the beginning of all of that does, and I know Mason is here with us somewhere. Is Mason, where is he? There he is back there. Mason Thompson is with us for the first time today, and that's so awesome to think about him being here. I've been watching little pictures on Facebook of him, and he's so cute and camo and all that stuff. But I think about a baby beginning, how God created us, and he raises us up to be who he wants us to be, that he has his purpose and plan for us. And then not only does that purpose and plan end for us when we take our last breath here, but when we actually, when we die, that our purpose is fulfilled and he wants to be with us forever. Now think about that. When you come in this place, or you are out in there and you encounter somebody who says that nobody cares, nobody loves them, and they have no hope at all, you need to be able to tell them there is a hope. Because God put them together for a purpose. And that purpose is not only for here and now, but it's for all eternity. And we need to understand that. The next time you get down on yourself and you believe that nobody would care if you disappeared, let me just tell you that God has a purpose for you. And because of that purpose, there are people who care about you. There are people that he has purposed for you to be the one who meets and leads them to him. There is a purpose. Don't ever give up on that. And there is a reunion coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17 and 18 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Listen, we need to encourage each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to make sure that when people come to us and they post, you know, crazy stuff on Facebook, that we need to understand they need to be encouraged because of what God has done for them and the purpose that he has for them. That there is something out there for them. We can't let them quit and give up. We can't do it. We can't quit and give up. There is a reason for us to do it. We must encourage each other on with these words, that we don't quit doing the things that we should be doing in church. We don't give up on URI kids because of our schedule. We don't give up because of that. We keep going because there are children who need to know and to be caught up in the air with those who have died before them, and because you are the ones that are meant to be telling them about Jesus. Now, that's taking it a little place where nobody thought it would go, right? See, it transfers over into every area of our lives. We need to be encouraged to be able to go and live out our lives. The next time we say, you know, the heck with it, I'm done. You need to understand that Jesus gave his life for you because he has a plan for you and he's coming back for you. And because of that, that you'll get to spend forever in heaven. And to in my opinion, to be able to enjoy it for all it's worth, that we need to enjoy it all for all it's worth here. We got to choose to live our lives differently. Heaven's going to be an amazing place. There's going to be no pain, no sin, no heartache, no brokenness, no disease, sickness, poverty, no starving children, no divorce, no loneliness, no cancer. We're going to be talking with God forever in his presence. He will wipe away all of our tears. Listen, when we get there, there's not going to be any tears, but the ones that may kind of squeeze out just a little bit because we got stuck in ourselves, he's going to wipe them away and there'll be no more. That doesn't excite you? That doesn't like pump you up? That means that you don't got to clock in no more. That make you happy? You know you don't got to pay no more bills. That make you happy? Come on, y'all. This is good stuff. Like I'm preaching my guts out up here. Come on, somebody give me something. Come on, this is good stuff. This is about the relationship that we're meant to have. So what about us that are believers? How should we act in the end times? Should we go dig a bunker and fill it up with food and a bunch of guns and a bunch of water and you know, get back in the corner and get ready? Huh? Should we be waiting for the first dude who pops his face up in the little hole and we shoot him? No. That's not how believers should be acting. You know, that's not how we should be living our lives, because the reality is that when it happens, man, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And we need to be ready. Here's what, listen to what, this is amazing. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe themselves with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Listen, if I ever get a tattoo, I can promise you it'll have the word stand firm in it. Because that is what God has called us to do, to stand firm. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What does that mean? That we are to serve him, that we're to praise him, that we're to worship him, that we're to give in his name, that we're to share his love, that we're to live our lives with an intensity. Let me just ask you, are you living your life with the intensity that these scriptures have clearly showed us that we're to live with? Are you living your life in such a way that when the trumpet sounds, that you're ready to go and you're going to be going nuts, you know, like Duke just won another national championship, or the Panthers won the Super Bowl? I just can't ruin the moment with a bad Carolina Panther joke. So tell me this. Are you excited about the return? Are you, is Maranatha the word that comes to mind that excites you, that the Lord is returning, that he's coming back? Are you ready for him to come? Today I want to ask you to just look inside, deep inside. And I want you to ask yourself some very serious questions. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes for me for a second? Nobody looking around, just, this is what we would call a church moment. But I don't want it to be a church moment. I want it to be a you moment, a you and God moment. As you think about how you've viewed the second coming of Christ, just being honest, you and God, no, I don't know, nobody around you knows. When you think about how you have viewed the return of Christ, has it excited you? Has it scared you? Have you even thought about it? Today, I want to invite you to make some decisions, to decide here and now. Number one, have you ever made a decision in your life that has secured where you'll be when the end comes? Have you made a decision to accept the fact that Jesus came, died on a cross for your sins, paid the price there with his life, was taken off, buried, and then on the third day, raised again so that you could be forgiven of your sin and spend forever with God? Have you ever made that decision before? If not, I want to ask you today, are you ready to make that decision? If so, you can make it right where you're at, right now. Just make it. Just acknowledge it to him that you know you've sinned, that you know you've been separated from him, and that today you want to ask him to forgive you of your sins, come into your life, and be your Savior. That you don't want to live the way you've been living anymore, that you want to turn and live knowing that you're following him the best that you can. We don't do this very often. But if you want to make that decision today, would you just lift up your hand, just quietly? Nobody's looking around, nobody's going to see you. If you want to make that decision today, just lift your hand up. Thank you. Thank you very much. If you're in the room and you've made that decision before, but you've been living separated from him, you've just been living your life on your own and you've given no thought to what will happen in the end, that you've not lived as though you know the victory is yours, and you'd like to turn, ask forgiveness of that, and just begin to live your life focused on serving him in the end, I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Today, if you're here and you need some questions answered. You need to talk to somebody. You just need somebody to pray with you, just to help you where you are. I'm going to encourage you that during the song, as the band plays, I'll be up at the front, Gabe's up at the front, Pastor Eddie's in the back, and I'm just going to encourage you to come and just feel free to come to us, and we'll talk with you and pray with you, whatever it takes. But today, I just want to make sure that when we leave today, that if the end does come tonight, let's just say they are right, then I want to make sure that I've done everything that I can do help you be exactly where he wants you to be. And so you just know that you have access to us. Let me pray for us. The band's going to play. And then as you feel led, you can come forward and pray. You can come talk to Gabe or myself or Pastor Eddie. Just do what you need to do in your relationship with God today. God, we just thank you so much for who you are and for what you've done. God, I know it's gone a little long today, but God, I just know that you have work to do, and it's clear by those hands that have been raised that you have moved in our midst. And I thank you, God, for moving in my life this week, as I thought about my own self and where I am with the return of your son. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to challenge us all. For those of us in the room who haven't raised our hands for whatever reason, maybe we've moved beyond those two questions. That's awesome. But God, I know you have work for all of us to do. And so God, may we all be committed to do more for you and to follow you. For those who've made a decision today to accept you for the first time, God, I thank you so much for those decisions. For those who said, listen, God, I know that I've been living apart from you. I've just not been excited about the end. But I want to live with the end in sight, but knowing that I'm ready today, doing whatever it is today that you want me to do today. Not worried about tomorrow. God, move in our hearts and our lives. And we just ask that you would do that in the name of Jesus, your son. Amen.